This is the new Talk the Bob Davis podcast. In podcast 486, I'm going to go on a rant and talk a little bit about something that's really frustrating me. And I'm just going to say it. If the Republicans lose the 2016 election, the seeds of it are not the Republican establishment, but what I see in the Republican rank and file, which I think needs to be talked about. Well, I'm going to talk about how I've started and stopped this podcast a couple of different times and trying to figure out exactly how to say it. And I'm working up quite a sweat, which brings me to Hydrus. Let me talk a little bit about Hydrus, which is what I use to hydrate because I practice a lot of yoga in crowded rooms. It's over 100 degrees, high humidity. You sweat a lot. And you can get dehydrated even if you drink a lot of water. I'll quickly tell you, and I mentioned this a couple of different times, if you drink half a quart of water or more before whatever you do, whether it's CrossFit or lifting or running or biking or yoga or whatever, it may take as long as 45 minutes for that water to hydrate you. And even then, you might not get the electrolytes you need into your system. So what most people do is they drink sports drinks that have sugar. And sugar can be another kind of problem. Without really proper hydration, you get sore. Now, I do so much yoga, I thought getting sore was part of age and part of just doing a lot of yoga until I found Hydrus, because what it did was it transformed my yoga practice, and here's why. Remember the 45-minute thing? The thing with Hydrus is it gets electrolytes into your muscles really fast with unrivaled speed and effectiveness. There's no sugar that you get in traditional sports drinks, and it helps me take it to the edge. I'm hearing my friends are now using it, and I'm hearing from people that it also has a lot of other benefits, which I don't want to talk about, but there are things they talk about and how it helps them. So here's what you do. Join the performance hydration revolution. Visit hydrusperformance.com. That's H-Y-D-R-U-S, hydrusperformance.com. You go to that website. There's a ton of content on there. There's a lot of athletes using it, from wrestlers to CrossFit athletes, runners, tennis players, people who are young, people who are old. It's a great product. It really is. And I don't just say it because I'm selling it. Check it out, hydrusperformance.com, and you can order Hydrus right there. And let me know if you do what you're using it for and how it works, and I'll talk about that because I love hearing Hydrus stories. And thanks, Hydrus, for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts. Well, I'm going to start where I left off last night, because usually I post on Sunday nights for Monday morning. And I actually, let me grab my coffee, started this podcast a couple of different times because I'll tell you why. Part of it was the tone, but I have something sticking in my craw that I'm going to have to present, and it's going to make some people mad. My intention is not to make people mad. My intention is not to attack people who mean well. That is not where I'm coming from. But I think I see something that people who are now engaged in working for candidates don't see. And it's one of the reasons I preferred to stay out of advocating for issues or for candidates, and probably will never again advocate for issues or candidates other than the broad outlines of what I believe in, because I think it blinds you to realities. And so I'm in a unique position to observe these things that I'm going to talk about in this podcast because of the fact that I'm not advocating for a specific candidate. So, yeah, I started and stopped this podcast last night three different times, and finally I just gave up. Now, you know, all weekend I binged on Mad Men as well as social media. So I was on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter all weekend, and it was like a lost weekend drinking with Don Draper. So yeah, I started and stopped because I am so frustrated with Republicans right now. And I, you know, last night a couple of different times I started, and I honestly don't see how attacking, making fun of, and criticizing Republicans accomplishes anything. People aren't going to change. They're not going to get smarter. They're just going to be more obstinate. And just so you know, I don't care about Democrats, as I've said that they were a lost cause years ago. I don't agree with their ideas about government and policies, and criticizing them is really a waste of time, because the challenge is how do you build an effective challenge to a Democrat government, basically. But the Republican situation right now is really, really something. This was a weekend, and I told you this is going to happen, where there was going to be a big kerfuffle about the effort by Senator Cruz to turn delegates wherever he could, whether it was North Dakota or Colorado. I saw it coming with North Dakota. And just this morning, we have people burning their GOP, voter registration cards and things like that, because they're upset because they voted for Donald Trump in a primary and Donald Trump didn't get the delegates he was supposed to get. Now, I don't want to go into a long and involved thing. You can look up the stories. You can find the stories. You can read all the details so you understand what's going on. The fact is, regardless of what happened or what's going to happen or what did happen, not very many people can have a discussion, and I put quotes around that word, in any forum, let alone social media, without name-calling, characterizations of how stupid the person they're debating is or how they're the problem with the party. And this goes back two or three times, and then the final insult, which is obviously you're voting for Hillary Clinton, or obviously you love Obama. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. There is a breathtaking amount of ignorance on the nuts and bolts of issues among the so-called conservative right. A breathtaking and childlike willingness to support a guy, my guy, this guy, and expect that he, capitalized, H-E, will do all the work. And they are shocked and dismayed, and they resort to name-calling and shouting and demands and complaints about the systems being rigged and conspiracy theories when the guy, my guy, this guy doesn't win or suffers some kind of setback, which may or may not mean anything. It's a breathtaking misunderstanding and ignorance of how the party system in this country functions. There is no depth on the issues with these people, and I don't care if it's Facebook or Twitter or whether it's in person. I saw a video today on Facebook that was from 1996 of some senator talking about how much money we give people in foreign aid. And if you've listened to the podcast, you know that foreign aid accounts for a minuscule part of our budget. But that doesn't stop people from posting videos in an effort to get people to understand that foreign aid is bad. There is no ability to search, find, and ascertain whether additional information is correct, contextual, or valid for a particular discussion or argument. It is sufficient that somebody just says it, and somebody important says it, so I'm going to repeat it. Or someone does a video, so I'm going to repost that video. Now, I have said again and again and again, if you're voting in caucuses and primary elections, you are not voting for president, or even close. You're not even voting for a nominee. What you are doing in a straw poll or presidential preference poll is you are, at the most, you are participating in an effort to distribute the percentage of votes each candidate will get when they get around to electing delegates for the national convention for the national mainline parties, Democrat and Republican. Local party unit conventions, then county conventions, and ultimately state and congressional district conventions determine the delegates for the national conventions. And let me tell you something else. Not everyone, not even the smartest people, understand the vagaries and the Byzantine rules of individual states when it comes to these procedures for electing delegates. I spent a dinner with people who were very knowledgeable, and we were arguing about how Minnesota selects their delegates. So, people need to understand that the delegates, again, are the people who are going to vote for the presidential nominee at the National Party Convention, and it will be based on party rules and state law where and if applicable. These guys are running for the highest office in the land, and they're going to pull out all the stops and do whatever they have to do, and whether the, you know, and bend the rules or find weird interpretations of rules or do whatever they have to do to win the contest. And at the same time, the you know, Republican establishment or the Democratic establishment or whatever, they're going to pull out all the stops for their guy, because this is how it is. This is a contact sport politics. What is wrong with people who self-identify as conservatives? I have never seen such childish behavior. There is a shocking lack of knowledge on the issues. There's a shocking lack of arguments on the issues or background information from which to mount an argument on anything and sustain an argument on anything. It's just a bunch of angry, frustrated children, with all due respect, although there isn't any due. Pick an issue and ask yourself, the Middle East, the economy, free trade, domestic policy, healthcare, state power versus federal power, the border situation. The fact is, and I hate to say this, but it needs to be said, Republicans know very little beyond the rhetoric about those issues. Their supporting arguments are video from some other source that they got, or posting an article from some website. They don't know what a conservative is. No, they don't. Go ask a Republican, what's a conservative? You're going to get the phone book. They don't know what a Republican is. Same answer. They don't know where the two combine. Anyone's explanation is as good as anybody else's. A moderate Republican explanation of a Republican is different from a Liberty Republican's explanation of what a Republican is, and so on. I know that everybody's just mad and frustrated, and that apparently is what goes on, you know, in terms of justification for whatever argument you have, except when you get into a discussion, even with people in the Republican Party, they can't go more than, you know, two turns before they throw up their arms and run away. The truth, I'm sorry to say this, they're children. Literally, they are 50-plus babies who never grew up. They claim to be the party of thinkers, but they haven't been the party of thinkers for 20 years. They claim to be for limited government, but they want the government to define marriage. They want their mortgage tax credit and their Social Security and their Medicare, and they want direct payments for subsidies and so on. All they do is bitch and moan about millennials who, by the way, volunteered to fight for this country after 9/11 and are 60 million strong, and everybody else they don't like. They think foreign aid is the biggest percentage of the federal budget. It isn't even close by a mile, and on and on and on. And most of these opinions at top volume, with insults hurled in anyone's direction who will listen, memes posted as arguments, and literally magical thinking that dominates every single discussion. For example, a piece today entitled "Ted Cruz Will Be the Nation's 45th President" is making the rounds on Facebook. Now, Cruz may be the next president, but if you're going to write something like that, you might want to include some facts and concrete concepts to prove your assertion. Why will Cruz be president? Because he's going to win the nomination and everyone will see. Oh, that's the reasoning. That's the basic reasoning of 150 words on why Ted Cruz will be president. And of course, that's going to be sent all over the place. And guess who's going to laugh at that? Anyone who isn't a Republican, anyone who is potentially a Republican, anyone who is potentially susceptible to liberty ideas is going to shake their head and laugh at the idiocy of that kind of a piece. And I am not going to go on and on attacking people that honestly I know to be earnest Americans concerned about their country, but I'm just going to say it because it needs to be said. This is not going to work. There needs to be a major reset with Republicans, whether the party remains or whether something new comes along with a new name. There has to be a change. And I will start with the so-called delegate battle and the stamping of feet and the assertions that the system is rigged. Yes, the system is rigged. Parties nominate presidents, not the popular vote. Parties control legislators, not the people's votes. The reason is no one can do anything alone. Can you do anything alone? Could you run the city by yourself? Could you run the state by yourself? No, you couldn't. And you certainly couldn't if all you can do is post a meme about Mark Dayton's crazy eyes or something like that. That's the best that you can come up with, is the governor this or the governor that. And here's a picture that proves it. No, sir, you are not going to be running the state. And running for president or the Senate or Congress or mayor of a major city is not something you can do by yourself. You need to have an organization behind you. You need to have people who understand election law. You need to have people who understand the district, city, state, apparatus at the precinct level. You have to have people who've been through it and know the process. Anybody who's ever run for office knows this. And the biggest race or game, if you will, in the world is the race for president of the United States. Hey, all you loudmouths and all you people who claim to be experts, how many of you have worked in your precinct campaign? How many have you worked in Washington as a staffer or the state capitol as a staffer? How many campaigns have you worked with? How many of you have ever even volunteered to carry the water or do anything? That's why I reserve my respect for people who are actually working in these campaigns, regardless if I disagree with them, regardless of whether they're working for Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton or Ted Cruz. I know there's going to be some, and that's fine. But what I'm trying to say is that a candidate cannot do it all by himself or herself. Sentiment on issues gets translated into political action through grassroots, but also through the party apparatus at the capitals and city hall. That is why you don't always get what you want. And what you need in order to get what you want is you need political pressure, which means you have to control the party. Now, I don't need to provide a lesson on the history of political parties. Read a book. Bottom line is the founders created a very stable representative republic. While they thought that parties would coalesce around issues and then disperse, it took a few years, but parties coalesced pretty quickly around different ideas about where the country should be headed. Originally, Federalists wanted a stronger federal government to do things like build roads and bridges and canals and better defense and a national bank, largely centered around the big cities and big towns and mercantile class at the time. And Anti-Federalists, which were largely southern plantation owners and small farmers in the western reaches, coalesced around an idea of a dispersed and weak federal government. And over time, those parties solidified, but they are not and they were not permanent. Federalists and Anti-Federalists evolved into Democratic Republicans, then Democrats and Republicans, and they will evolve again. Yes, the Democrats and the Republican Party will go away someday and replaced with something else. But because of the stable nature of the Republican type of government, we don't have as many parties represented in the houses of government. Parliamentary democracies have parties, they just have more of them. Even communist countries have political parties, they only have just one, though. And by the way, there have been a couple of different periods in American history where there was only one big political party in this country. This is the process by which leaders are identified and vetted in this country, the party process. This is the process by which problems get solved. This is the process by which campaigns and candidates are arranged, and the ranks from where those who serve the elected leaders come. This is how political power is transmitted. This is not going to change. And people who complain about the system being rigged, who are too lazy to do any work, aren't the people who change things. And you may as well get used to that, especially if you're one of those people. All right, now I'm going to get to shortly here. I'm going to get to some specifics about how things have to change. But I'm also going to talk about personal responsibility. And these are lessons that I've learned just in terms of starting my own business and having to change my thinking and change the way I do things. And there's a lot of challenges in small businesses. One of them is, how do you show your clients how much you appreciate them? And usually what we do is we take people to lunch or dinner. We arrange a fishing trip. But what you really want is one of those bonding events where people really can remember it and say, I had a really good time doing this thing with my guy who is my vendor or whatever, and they never forget it. And it isn't a boat trip or something like that. It's something that's different, that's social, that's memorable, that allows you to socialize and bond with your clients while they are doing something creative and fun and unique. And here's where. At Brush Studio in the West End, St. Louis Park. So Brush Studio events are held in a relaxed social setting. What happens is an artist will guide people through a featured painting step by step. So everybody comes out with a painting. And it's not about art. It's not about experience doing art. Your clients will be amazed at what they're able to create, and they're just having fun because Brush Studio events aren't about painting, but socializing and working together. There's room for 55 people there, plus catering from Crave in the West End, so it's great for big businesses as well as medium and small businesses, depending on how many clients. If I had 55 clients, I would take them to Brush. Brush Studio features over 22 brands of beer and an extensive wine collection. You're going to have a good time because the Brush Studio people are event planning ninjas. This is a fun and sophisticated way to create a new bonding experience. Your clients, I promise you, are never going to forget. They're going to have a great time and they're going to love you for it. So here's what you do. Check out the Brush Studio banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page or visit brushstudio.net. You can call them, reach out to them at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. They can help you put together a great client appreciation party at Brush Studio. You're going to love it. Brush Studio in the West End, St. Louis Park. Lots of parking, plenty of room. Check it out, Brush Studio. So what's the problem, Bob Davis? You're just whining and complaining. I'm not. I'm setting you up to explain to you what needs to be done. What's the problem? The Republican Party in particular is dominated by people of a certain age who have turned into crybabies. What they want is to go back to the 1980s when Reagan was president. Oh, they know that's not possible, but I don't think that stops them from wanting it. But we cannot ever go back, and we won't go back, and the world is going to be different. These are the people that are killing the Republican Party, not the so-called establishment. And don't get me wrong, I'm no fan of the establishment, but here's where I'm going with this. What are you going to replace the establishment with? Because if you're going to have a revolution, you have to have a plan. What is your plan? And I'll answer the question. There is no plan. Because a plan cannot be communicated with a meme on Facebook or a 140-character tweet or an angry rant at a Tea Party meeting or by calling the local talk radio station that nobody listens to. A plan is something that you have to develop and implement with people of like minds, a political party. Do you have one, Republicans? Quick! What is it? What is the unifying principle? Can you present the Republican plan for the future of the United States that covers the bases and issues that a large swath of the people are concerned about? Economics, foreign policy, domestic issues, budgeting, urban policy, income inequality, future planning, employment in a world of technological evolution, issues like racism and global warming, protecting the American system and opportunity for everyone. So minimum wage, robotics, developments like drones for people, driverless cars, and so on. Addressing groups like Occupy and Black Lives Matter is also a concern and an issue. How do you address them? You can't just say they're crazy and walk away. Do you have an elevator speech that encompasses these issues smoothly and succinctly? Can you go toe-to-toe with a person in your party complete with facts and figures to support your point of view? Can you go longer than one exchange? Can you talk about these issues without insults and name-calling and throwing your arms around? Can you cite sources, statistics, and refer to personal experience? No? Then you're not going to win the election, and you're not going to have your ideas carry the day at the Capitol in Washington or in your state capitol or at the county council. Because no matter who the Republicans nominate, one guy cannot make all the arguments. One guy, whether it's Cruz or Trump or anybody else, cannot do your work for you. Now, I mentioned Reagan earlier, and before you say Reagan, let me tell you something about Reagan. The people who elected Reagan knew what they were talking about. They lived, and this is where experience comes in, through an economic calamity called the Depression. They lived through Prohibition. They lived through World War II and served in World War II and the Cold War. My father was in his 50s when Reagan was elected, and he could stand behind the bar down in our basement drinking an old-fashioned or a martini and go toe-to-toe with anyone. He could explain supply-side economics. He could explain the foreign policy situation. He could argue both sides of the argument if he had to. We spent many nights down there yelling and screaming at each other, and he educated me and my friends and his friends, and they educated him. Many of his and my mom's friends could do the same. Why? Because they were not people who whined about things. Because they were a generation that took action, because they had to survive. They did things. They were actors, not pretenders and whiners. Don't believe me? Take a little time and watch some Reagan or even some Kennedy speeches, God forbid, from the 1960 election. Nixon, too. And what you're going to hear is a lot of facts and statistics and figures and hard policy ideas. Compare these with any of the political speeches today, especially by Republican candidates in 2016. You're going to hear a lot of emotional appeals. You are going to hear a lot of, colorful language. You are going to hear a lot of hashed over, warmed up ideas from 40 years ago and very little specifics associated with the problems that we have. The Republicans, who are really the opposition party in this country, need a reset. And I am not sure it will be accomplished with a rank-and-file voter that has the emotional maturity of an eighth grader and the intellectual understanding of the world of a child. Our adults today, and I'm speaking of the full-grown men in general in this country who call themselves Republicans, with the exception of those who maybe have been and done, are children. They do not have emotional maturity that you might have seen in the so-called greatest generation. And maybe that's why they were. And I don't know why, but the parents of today's quote-unquote full-grown men were emotionally mature. What I'm seeing displayed in the political ranks and on Facebook and when I go out and see these meetings, I see a lot of people who are very emotionally immature. But if you're wondering how it works, here's how. If you want power, you have to take over the state apparatus of the political parties you're identifying with. Just voting in a caucus or a primary is only a tiny little first step. And I'll give you a hint, it's really hard. I might also suggest that just voting in elections is just as meaningless, because what you have to do is you have to have an organized effort to take over the party apparatus. And that's not going to be possible in a world where Republicans do not know who they are or what they are. And since you don't know, I will tell you, most Republicans are Tories. What is a Tory? I was raised to believe Tories were passionate supporters of the crown and were thus thrown out of the colonies at the time of the Revolution. Not necessarily. I have since learned that Tories were people who had issues with the crown but didn't want to break away from the crown. They wanted to, like most good Englishmen, they believed in the monarchy and they believed in, at that time, doing what they could do to, ameliorate some of the issues related to George III. This was part of the reason for the Declaration of Independence as a call to action to try to convert as many Tories as possible and make them realize that there wasn't going to be a way for them to conservatively address those issues. Today's Republican is conservative. He or she may have problems with the way things are, but they really don't want to break away. They don't want to take that extra added step of declaring themselves for a new and different, completely different approach. Hint, liberty and constitutional restoration, where you go and you listen to these people explain what the founders were thinking, ain't it. Because the fact is, Democrats are conservatives too. Both Republican and Democrat want different iterations of essentially the same policy. Marginal changes in one direction or another, but status quo. So all the Republican candidates are conservatives, but so are all the Democrat candidates, even the socialists. Yes, even the socialists. Why? Because America has been socialist since the 1930s. We don't see it because we've been raised in it. So a conservative, even if he or she rails about the Constitution and liberty and all this other nonsense, is essentially a conservative socialist. This is one of the reasons that, in my view, Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders are so popular. Trump ought to sit down with Sanders and say, look, depending on which one of you wins the nomination, I'll be your vice president, you could be mine. They are the same guy. They're just different sides of the same coin. They want pretty much the same things, which are state solutions to problems that are a little bit more complex than something like a meme or a tweet explains. Now, I'm not stupid. I know that most academics would say, well, you really can't describe the United States as socialist since the 1930s. But if socialism is defined as government control of the means of production, not ownership, but control of the means of production, then we have essentially a controlled market economy since the beginning of the Progressive Era and Teddy Roosevelt and the expansion of the executive branch powers. I think it is fair to say that there are a number of controls over the means of production in this country. Certainly one could argue that the War Board, the National Recovery Act, by the way, the War Board in both World War I and II, the National Recovery Act, as I mentioned, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and now Obamacare are some form of government controlling the means of production. Certainly they've been described as overreach, but not all of the elements of the War Board and the National Recovery Act were declared unconstitutional. We all know how the government controls development in cities with zoning laws, subsidies, and other tools. So anyone who advocates continuing these policies is a conservative. Democrats are conservative socialists pretty much, and Republicans are Tories. They might disagree. They might say, well, I'm not a socialist, but they tacitly support the status quo with caveats because most of the Republican Party is controlled by moderates. What fixes it? Well, this is not going to make you feel good. Today's freedom-loving radicals are, in fact, liberals. They are not conservatives. They want free trade. They want liberty in all things, including, sexual liberty and, getting rid of controls and prohibitions on drugs. They want a full free market economy. They want states' rights. And they want a substantially smaller federal government with less authority to regulate and control the means of production, which would be a radical departure from even something that Ted Cruz would advocate. These are classically liberal ideas. They are not conservative ideas. Our founders were radical liberals, and the Tories were the conservatives of the era. Do you understand where I'm coming from? The challenge is a complete reset with a new party and new ideas, with a strong cadre of supporters who are doers, not talkers. Meetings of political parties and meetings of support parties or groups like the Tea Party, for example, should be held to teach, and they should require acolytes to have command of the arguments, to develop a catechism and plan to organize and to prove that they are willing to serve, not be the guy who talks about messaging. And if they do that, then they are asked to leave. This is not grassroots. This is developing the cadre of a political revolution. It is not going to happen with rhetoric. Leaders are going to have to develop the ideas, and they're going to have to vet them, and they're going to have to refine them by discussion and argument and debate, and they're going to have to teach them. And they're going to have to be leaders who are, in fact, doers themselves, attracting and then educating leading citizens and the money and everything else. The thinkers, doers, and seers of our time and our country today, and the thinkers, doers, and seers, the builders of the future. And I got news for you. It's not the 25 sacks of potatoes sitting on the chairs at the Tea Party meeting, or the 42 people in the state party who keep doing the same thing over and over again and thinking that they're going to get different results. The Republican Party is not that group. And by the way, the Republican rank and file aren't that group either, and it gives me no pleasure to say it. And guess what? This isn't going to get done in this election cycle. So what we have, people, is a bunch of children who are upset because the state party in Colorado or North Dakota or wherever else pulled rank and decided what delegates would be sent to the convention based on the rules they set when you were sitting at home in your underwear watching The Walking Dead or the baseball game because you were just too busy to go to a political meeting and get elected a delegate because that would require work and thinking. Or the rules they passed after you left the caucus, having voted in the presidential straw poll because you thought you went over there and raised hell, because that's what the email said you should do, and that's what the guy on the radio said you should do. None of the current Republican leaders is qualified to be president of the United States. None of them is qualified to be what I would refer to as a radical liberal or someone who believes in liberty. None of them will do what you think that they will do or what they have said. They don't have to, because there isn't anyone out there to hold their feet to the fire. Burn your GOP registration, sir? Good. They don't care. In fact, they've been trying to get rid of people like you for the last 10 years, and they will say, good riddance, bye-bye. Be mad and angry and post on Facebook? Big friggin' deal. They don't care. And they don't care about you, and they are not listening to you because you don't know how to make them listen. And I've been saying this and saying this and saying this, and people blink and they go right on talking about Ted Cruz or Glenn Beck or something else. You watch and see if this isn't true and if this doesn't play out this way. The bottom line is you have to pay your dues in politics, and it's not a friendly business. And if you can't do that, sit down, shut up, and accept whomever the people who actually did some work nominate, because you're not going to stop them with memes and protests and burning your GOP registration. And that goes for people on the left, too. The only thing that stops them is pulling the rug out from under them, and that means a rival party that has money and teeth and votes and rigs the system in your favor. You are not going to achieve that by the way that you think that you're doing it now, because the reality is you're just one more cow in the herd. Keep chewing so we can fatten you up for the slaughter. And it gives me no pleasure to say it, but somebody had to say something. The truth is that truly being personally responsible, true freedom in the future, using all the tools that we have to amplify ourselves and to build the kind of country and the kind of world that we could, given what we have built in terms of technology, absolutely terrifies Tories and Democrats. It scares the hell out of them. There's only a few of us out here who really, really, really are willing to live in a world where we are personally completely responsible for ourselves. So that's just a few things to think about. Maybe it's a little sobriety, maybe a dose of sobriety in the insanity that is going on right now. But as I said, it doesn't give me any pleasure to say this stuff. But my God, people, somebody had to say something. Grow up. Got to thank the digital sponsor of the BobDavisPodcast.com, Alpha Systems. I think they're just back from Sun and Fun, another big fly-in. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems can solve that problem for you, because they know that it's great to have a visual indicator of your angle of attack on final approach. Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. They actually started the angle of attack revolution. It's FAA approved. They want to get it into your plane now. Bottom line, Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Yes, it does. And there's plenty of examples. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at the Bob Davis Podcast.com. Thanks again to Brush Studio in the West End, St. Louis Park, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. If you're looking to do a great client appreciation party, you owe it to yourself to call Brush Studio in the West End in St. Louis Park. I've explained what they do. To find out more, call 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. Or reach out to them online at brushstudio.net. If you are doing cycling, if you're doing CrossFit, if you're lifting, doing competitive sports, or even yoga, whatever you do, you want to stay hydrated, and HydrusPerformance.com is the place to get Hydrus. HYDRUS. It will keep you hydrated. It will help you take it to the edge. You will be amazed. Join the performance hydration revolution. Visit HydrusPerformance.com. That's HydrusPerformance.com. Speaking of small business, you know, I got a $100 donation this week, and I don't have my phone, so I can't check the name, and I'm really sorry, but it was a person who listened to me. Maybe she doesn't even want me to use her name, but she said she started a business just because of how much I talked about it, and she really appreciated it. So I really appreciate the donations to the BobDavisPodcast.com right on the page underneath the picture of Mobile Podcast Command. Thanks for listening on Stitcher.com or TuneIn or BlogTalkRadio.com or the granddaddy of serving up podcast iTunes. And thank you for liking and sharing and favoriting and following it on Facebook and Twitter. People have been trying to friend me on Facebook. Just go to the website, thebobdavispodcast.com. Click on the Facebook widget. It will take you to the Bob Davis Podcast's page. And again, thanks for liking and sharing. I love Instagram. I'm bdavis7843 on Instagram. And thank you for following me on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter again. And thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. They go to support Mobile Podcast Command. Thanks for listening to podcasts 486. hard to believe.